This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
Hello and welcome to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire, I go by Clizaire on the internet. And this is the podcast where I invite people on to tell me their best stories. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon, as always, by the patrons on the Storytime Superhero tier on Patreon. Please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/Clizaire. Links are down below in the description and in the show notes on the audio platforms.
It's story time.
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. And today I have with me Peter. Hello, Peter. Hello. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Peter Steffen. I am living in Austin, Texas, and been here for about 3.5 years now. Originally from Chicago, born and raised there my whole life. And then due to my wife's work, we moved out to Los Angeles. For about 2 years. And then she got another work opportunity to move to Austin. And the job that I have, fortunately, we are, you know, I can sort of transfer all around the country. We're a nationwide country. So I just put in for another request for a transfer. They said, yeah, no problem. Moved down to Austin and been working here. And then with the pandemic and everything, now everybody's been kind of, you know, still off work for, you know, quite some time. So just kind of sitting around. And then my wife, fortunately, has still been working consistently from home, which is great. So that's good. And then now just with this big snowstorm that hit the other week, that really just kind of threw everybody, you know, for a pretty bad loop here.
Yeah. So you reached out because I put out a call for people who had a story to share. And yeah, you're in the middle of a pretty big sort of new, like I call it news story, but obviously it's not news for you. It's real life.
Exactly. Yeah. And the weird thing is that like right now we're it's about a week or so afterwards and everything is for the most part back to normal here in central Austin and all the big cities. As far as like some of the rural, you know, little towns, I'm pretty sure everybody has got power and water back on. But here in like, you know, a city, you know, the size of Austin with the whole surrounding area, you know, we're just over 1 million people just in Austin alone. And with Texas having its own power grid, how it's not connected to the rest of the entire country, it makes no sense. I mean, it really doesn't, you know.
Yeah, so tell me about what happened. Because I obviously from Ireland, I have a very overview, like a really, you know, I kind of have seen some videos and I heard that it was really cold and you had no power and no water. Yeah. Is that correct?
But correct, yes.
That's probably the extent of my knowledge on it.
Sure. The United States is broken up into three power grids. You have the entire eastern part of the United States. I'm not sure exactly where the dividing line is, but you have the whole eastern part of the United States, the entire western part of the United States, and then you have Texas all on its own. And I'm not sure when exactly they decided to build their own infrastructure for a power grid, but essentially we are completely cut off from the rest of the country. We cannot, in the sense of an emergency like we just had, have power come in from the eastern, the western side to kind of like help Texas.
And other states can do that.
All the other states. Yeah. Okay. Eastern, western, like, yeah, they can all tie in. They're all on those two parts of the grid. And then Texas is on its own. But somehow El Paso, which is all the way on the western end of Texas, they are somehow, I think, connected to the western half's grid. So they never really suffered any kind of power outage when the whole Texas grid went down. So good for them. And I think the reason that Texas had its own system is because back when they set it up, they didn't want any kind of federal mandates or regulations that they would have to follow from the government.
Right.
And of course, Texas being Texas, we're independent, we're, you know, all that, you know, we're all on our own kind of thing, you know, the Republic and all that stuff. They kind of really shot themselves in the foot, no pun intended, with this sort of, you know, kind of a maneuver. And
so there's
first,
a sort of like, I don't know how to phrase it. I didn't realize that. So there's this sort of like thing where Texas feels like it wants to be its kind of own boss sort of thing.
That's why it's called the Lone Star State. It's
oh,
that's
I why didn't we know that either. I'd heard that, but I didn't know why.
Yeah. They have the one star on the flag. It's, you know, it likes to think of itself as its own republic. And you know, every few years comes, you know, the whole, oh, we'd love to secede from the US and be our own government and this, that, and the other. And it's sort of like, that sounds, yeah, it sounds great. You know, it rallies the troops, so to speak, but then when a natural disaster like this hits, or like, you know, hurricanes hitting, you know, on the Gulf side in Houston, then as soon as the federal aid comes in, well, then, well, hey, we're one country, we're all one nation. But then, you know, a year or so, exactly. And then a year or so after that, it's like, yeah, we don't need you guys. You know, we don't need federal handouts and this, that, and the other. But, you know, when it turns around and comes and bites them like this, well, then of course, you know, where was Biden during this whole thing? And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Ted Cruz is flying to Cancun, you know, with his kids. And, you know, the only reason why, you know, he's so sorry now is because he got caught, and, you know, and it's kind of ridiculous, but yeah. So yeah, with the whole grid going down, they knew that, everybody knew that the big storm was coming. The meteorologists, you know, had predicted, you know, a few days beforehand, and myself included. It wasn't like panic mode, but everybody kind of knew that, you know, okay, we're going to have to go to the store beforehand, you know, stock up on the usual things, you know, get some pasta, some canned soup, you know, all that sort of stuff, just in case.
We go mad for bread.
Bread
here, in times of crisis, it's like the bread aisle just gets
bread here and soda, like like Coke, Pepsi, all the, like the shelf gone, like the locusts came in and just like everything just completely gone, you know, all that stuff. So you're kind of like, okay. So I went to the store a couple of days before the storm hit, and kind of just stocked up on a few things, because, you know, hindsight being 2020, you never really knew how bad it was going to be. And in Texas, at least here in Austin, when it snows, which is very, very rarely, they have no snow plows to push away all the snow, no ice, salt to put down for the roads. They kind of put down sand in a couple places for traction, but of course, sand doesn't melt, you know, frozen ice on the roads. So as soon as you get anything more than like, you know, a quarter inch of snow, the roads are impossible to drive on.
Interesting. Okay, sorry, I'm going to stop you for a bit of context here.
Sure.
So I know that there are different climates nearly across the US. So like California is always sunny. Is that correct?
For the most part, yeah.
Well, yeah. But in comparison to like Boston, which would get very heavy snowfall.
Yes, yes.
I would have thought Texas would have been a bit more extreme as well, in that you'd be used to snow. No?
No, nope, nope. In the three years that I've lived here, other than the last snowfall that we just had the other week, the last year we got maybe about a quarter inch of snow, and it kind of shut down the entire town for the whole day.
So you're very like Ireland, actually. There's a bit of snow coming down and all the buses stop.
See, and it's funny because I'm thinking the same way you are. I would think that, like, you know, Ireland and, you know, United Kingdom, like every year you guys get a bunch of snow, but apparently.
Yeah, we do. Well, we do actually, most years lately, especially, we would get a period of snow. It's just that I think the UK actually deals with it a lot better than Ireland does. And that's just to do with like preparation and structure and stuff. We do get. But yeah, it's basically the last couple of years we've had like heavy snowfalls, and it's just been like country comes to a stop. Everyone stays at home, which was exciting at the time because it was a snow day. But now, like, now snow days don't mean the same.
No, when you're a little kid and you get the day off school and you can run around in the snow, it's one thing. But I mean, like, they're like with the snowfall that we got last week, there are people who have lived here, you know, born and raised their entire lives, have never seen anything like this at all. It was like the apocalypse came, you know, 6 inches of snow, unheard of. Yeah. I mean, it's like you couldn't, you know, it's like right out of a, like a, you know, horror movie for these people.
And so where did that come into play with the water? So what I don't understand is how it managed to shut off the electricity and the water. Did that happen at the same time, or was it related? Was it because of the storm? I'm presuming it was, but I don't know how it connects.
Yeah. Essentially what had happened, I kind of wrote down a little cheat sheet timeline here.
Very good.
just so I kind of get all the facts here. Back on Thursday on the 11th of the month is when we started to get like some freezing rain. And like I said, the meteorologists had seen it kind of all coming in from the west, you know, from California across Colorado, and kind of with the jet stream, all the weather, sort of all that cold air dipped down into Texas, Oklahoma. We all started to get that on Thursday. And then on like Friday and Saturday, the 2 days afterwards, the temperatures really started to plummet. And at that point, everything on the ground started to freeze. Then on Sunday, the 14th is when all the snow came. And that we got here in Austin about 6 inches of snow course of 24 hours. And like I said, that just essentially just crippled everything that was going on here. And with that cold, all they decided to shut down the water supply that's going to everybody's houses because all the water pipes that are buried underground are now frozen. So no water delivery to the houses, because if they turn the water off, there's no water technically flowing through the pipes.
Pipes will start bursting.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened all over the city. And so that's why water went out. And then the reason why the power went out is, since we're on our own grid here in Texas, all of the supply chains, the natural gas, the coal, the wind turbines, the thing with the wind turbines that everyone who is anti, you know, renewable energy likes to say is, well, these, you know, the big turbines, they froze, you know, we can't rely on green renewable energy, we're coal and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the problem is, it's like, you know, well, we have wind turbines in Iowa where it gets really cold, you know, Minnesota, they all have wind turbines. They actually spent the additional money.
They prepared them.
They put the antifreeze in them. They put all the heating elements in the actual motors to keep them running when it's sub-zero temperatures.
Well, yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah, if you prepare the things.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas here in Texas, where it's always warm and sunny, why would you spend all that money to prepare for the future in case something like this happened? So everybody who is anti-green renewable energy, who's all coal and oil and, you know, Texas, you know, that kind of way, they're all pointing the finger saying, well, these turbines, you know, wind turbines, you know, they froze up, this, that, and the other. It's like, well, yeah, but what they don't tell you is, like, yeah, they didn't prep them for cold weather. So,
yeah.
And plus,
but
all the
electricity doesn't come from wind turbines, does it?
No, they say about a third of it does.
Yes,
for all of Texas.
So whatever the rest of it's coming from must have also experienced difficulty as well.
Exactly. Yeah, because everything, you know, because when we lost when all the cold came, it kind of shut everything down, and so they stopped running the power to you know, the coal facilities, natural gas facilities. Not all the natural gas though. The one thing that we did have here still in the house is we have a natural gas line coming in to run our stove. And so it's because it's a gas stove, it's not electric. So fortunately, once everything froze and they turned the water off and turned the power off, what we could still do is we could go outside, and I actually have, took pictures and stuff of me like chopping ice and snow in the backyard, bringing it in buckets, boiling it on the stove to make drinking water and also water to flush the toilets.
That is very clever.
Yeah. And you have to flush the toilets too, right?
Oh my God,
you can't
yeah.
Go anywhere else. So you kind of do your thing and then take the lid off and pour water into the tank so it fills up. So you have pressure to flush the stuff down.
That is so clever. I would not have thought of doing that. Well, maybe I don't know if I would have, but wow. That's really clever.
You would have heard of it somewhere. Yeah. It's one of those. And I mean, growing up in Chicago, like the majority of my life, I mean, we had the infrastructure in place. Like very rarely would you ever hear of, you know, pipes bursting or power going out, because the infrastructure and everything is built to handle, you know, 4 or 5 months of cold weather out of the year. Whereas
God,
here
it's
in Texas,
mad how the climate can be so different in different parts of the U.S. Mad.
Oh, absolutely. And the funny thing was, after the entire cold front went out, we had, like I said, we had about the 6 inches of snow on the ground, the ice, everything like that. 2 days later, after the cold front went through, it was in the 70 degrees roughly,
oh my
Fahrenheit.
God.
In the course of 15 hours, you'd look outside, it's as if nothing had ever happened.
Oh my
you can
God.
See the streets, everything completely melted. You can see the grass, everything. It's like if I told you like 2 days ago there was 6 inches of snow on the ground, you'd look at me and go, oh, you're crazy. There's no way. Everything is completely melted, gone.
Wow.
So, yeah, which is astounding. You know, because the sun comes out, heated everything up because we're in such a southern climate. And yeah, everything is melted and gone, and you would never have guessed. And then finally, like, okay, so I get real quick getting back to the timeline.
Keep telling me. It's really interesting.
Okay. Yeah. So like I said, on Sunday the 14th is when all the snow came down. We got the 6 inches of snow. And so we're kind of like, okay, let's see, you know, how long this is going to take. Monday the 15th, about noon, all of a sudden, without any warning from the water company, anything, all of a sudden you go to the tap, turn it on, no water. You're just gone. So whatever you had, no warning at all. Not like, hey, in a couple hours, we're going to turn off, you know, the power. So maybe you want to fill up your bathtubs and like get some big buckets and, you know, get water like ready to go, because we don't know how long it's going to be out for. Nothing. No warning at all. So great, no water all of a sudden. So you have pretty much whatever you have left in your house, you know, a case or two, maybe of bottled water, you know, a couple things of like Gatorade or something, maybe in the refrigerator, some milk, you know, whatever you have. And essentially that's it. And now you can't go anywhere because the roads are completely closed because everything's frozen. There's 6 inches. There's nothing to plow. You are essentially stuck in your house. So that's fantastic. So then this was on Monday. And then about 5 o'clock the same day, suddenly power goes out. Same thing. No warning. All of a sudden you're kind of sitting, watching TV, you know, watching the news, seeing what's going to happen. Gone. All of a sudden, no power. And now you're like, I have no power. I have no water. So now I'm left with whatever I have in my refrigerator. And that's it. And now you're kind of in, not to sound dramatic, but you're kind of like in survival mode now. It's like, okay, so now without power, the heat doesn't come on, you know, the furnace isn't blowing anything. So now it's like, okay, we have whatever heat is left in the house here. Now it's time to start putting on, you know, like a couple layers of sweatshirts, you know, extra socks kind of thing. Cause it's now it's about 2 degrees outside. It is like Fahrenheit. So that's negative. I'm sorry. I don't know the conversion to centigrade, but it's like, you know, 32 is freezing in Fahrenheit. So, and now it's 2 degrees Fahrenheit. So we're at minus something.
You must be
at
really minus in Celsius. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. 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 So now it's cold out there. It's bitter cold. And now of course it's, you're waiting for, okay, what's going to happen? How long is this going to last? So essentially that was on Monday. Tuesday, no power, no water. Wednesday, the 17th, the power would come on for maybe 2 hours at a time. You would just be kind of,
was there any communication about when you would get your power back from your company? No. Or, oh my God,
nothing at all. And it's kind of hard to check because
you have
now
no power.
All of a sudden,
yeah,
you have no power. You're relying on whatever power you have left on your cell phone to get on the cell phone network because your Wi-Fi in your house, that's gone. Because that,
but I wonder, was everybody trying to do that? And then was the mobile signal really slow?
No, we didn't notice. Yeah, we didn't really notice any kind of lag in speed or anything. But even then, you know, you're kind of like trying to watch like the local news station, like little tidbits here and there as far as, is anybody hearing anything? And at that point, you know, we're just kind of realizing the scope of like how big this, like we thought, okay, maybe it's just in Austin. No, this is all of Texas because the whole grid is now shutting down. And now after the fact, we're finding out that they had said that the company that now runs, you know, the power grid for all of Texas, they're coming out and saying that had they not started doing like what they were calling like rolling blackouts to kind of like conserve power across the entire state, if they would not have started doing those when they did, they said they had probably about 5 minutes left before the entire state of Texas would have went black. Just no power for anyone.
So
they started.
It was when you say rolling blackout, right? So it wasn't the whole state in one go. It was
correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite clever. Well, I suppose it's no, doesn't make you feel any better when you're out of power, but.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So when they started that, it was kind of like, originally they said, okay, a rolling blackouts only for, you know, about 2 hours at a time to, you know, the different sections. And so they're kind of like, okay, 2 hours. Yeah. It's not too bad. But then after 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours, like the power just did not come back on.
Yeah,
and so then you're going a little,
not really as rolling as.
Yeah, this is a lot worse than, you know, we thought it was going to be. So, and so now we have the no power and everything. So then I was on Wednesday, and then same thing on Thursday, the 18th, power, same thing, kind of off and on for a couple hours, you know, a little bit here and there. And then, you know, as soon as the power came on, you know, like you're plugging your cell phone in to get, you know, power and everything. One of the nights, my wife and I, we actually hopped in my car in the driveway, turned it on for about a half an hour, plugged the cell phones into the car just to charge it up. You know, fortunately brought the iPad out there, put it on the dashboard, watched, you know, half hour Indiana Jones, you know, just to get warm in the car. Yeah. With this, you know, heated seats on and kind of like, okay, you know, are you 75% juice left on your phone? Okay, let's go back in. Cause you don't want to sit with the car running the entire time either, because then suddenly you're draining the gas in the car. And, you know.
Question, was your stove and your gas working while your power was out?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank heavens, the gas, the small mercies.
Exactly. But the thing too is like, you know, it's a gas powered stove. So, you know, you get the flame out of it, which is fine. But then of course, as soon as you push it in and turn it to ignite it, that part is electric. So you've got to get like a lighter, turn the gas on real quick and, you know, light the flame. So the gas, you know, actually ignites.
Yeah.
So you're doing that. So, and then the unfortunate thing, what had happened was, I guess like a lot of the people who had never been in a situation like this before, you would read stories after the fact of, you know, they would just huddle in their kitchens, close all the doors, just leave the stove burning for hours at a time, which granted there's no real carbon monoxide gas that comes from your stove, you know, burner being on. And that's a good thing. But also then too, you would hear of people who, like I just said, like what we would do, we would go into, you know, our car. Unfortunately, some people leave their car in the garage, garage door closed, turn the car on. Now all of a sudden you have carbon monoxide poisonous emissions coming out of the car, filling up the garage. And even if you did have the garage door open, if you don't have a good seal on your garage door into your house, if you know if your garage is attached to your house, you're now getting carbon monoxide, which is, you know, odorless, colorless, you know, inside your house. Oof. Not a good situation. Not at all. No. So fortunately, I didn't really hear of any deaths on the news as far as people succumbing to that sort of, you know, monoxide poisoning or anything. But then you would hear two stories and, you know, the news would be putting out like, you know, hey, whatever you do, you're like, don't do that. Also, yeah, don't take your charcoal barbecue grill into your garage, light it with the, you know, charcoal, because all of that releases carbon monoxide, you know, just to stay warm. Or, you know, meantime, it's like you're slowly poisoning yourself, you know, because of all these fumes and everything. So some people, they just don't realize it, you know.
Yeah, because I wouldn't have known any of this. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, it just happens. You just kind of like, okay, yeah, this is a source of heat. I'm going to turn this on and get warm. Well, you're slowly poisoning yourself, or, you know, God forbid, if you have, you know, young children with you, or you bring your pets in there, you know, your dog or cat or, you know, whatever you have to keep them warm. So it was, you know, just not a good situation. People, you know, hunkering down, just trying to stay warm. So that was going on. And then, let's see, what do I have next? Then on like Thursday, the 18th, power finally came back on in our area. Now, how they decide what areas of the state were going to get their power on first, I have no idea. But the power came back on. We're kind of like, okay, is this it? You know, so once again, everything plugged in, charging, you know, because you didn't know. So finally, it seemed after about 24 hours, the power was staying on. We're like, okay, but still no water. So at least the heat is running. The furnace is running. We can stay warm. Not a problem. Heat is running. So then we're waiting. Friday, no water. Saturday, the water finally came back on with low water pressure. But since there's been no water in the pipes for 3-4 days, whatever it's been now they're starting to boost the water pressure up. So you're starting to get a little bit of a trickle of water out, which fine, great, it's better than nothing. However, now, since the pipes have been off, you're now under a boil water notice. So even if you can't just turn the water on, drink it right away, because who knows what bacteria, whatever has been in those pipes for the last years. So now take your pot, fill it up with water, boil that water for, they say, I think 1 to 2 minutes. We boiled ours for 5 minutes just to be safe. Boil the water into a pitcher, into the refrigerator, rinse, repeat, you know, that sort of thing. And then also too, now, since now the water has been boiled so you can drink it, but now what they're saying too is if you're going to wash your dishes that you hopefully have been eating food on now, well, now you can wash them, but since the water doesn't get hot enough while you're washing it by hand or in a dishwasher, you rinse them off, but now there's still that water that's on it. So now what you have to do, boil some more water. For 1 gallon of water, 1 teaspoon of bleach into your sink, take your clean plate or dishes or glasses, silver or whatever, through the water, let it air dry, because the bleach will now kill whatever the bacteria has been on that plate. Even though the plate is clean, you know, you cleaned it with soap and warm water.
Was this
water.
Your idea, or were they recommending that you wash your dishes with bleach?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Well, do a rinse with bleach. Yeah.
Yeah. So but you can use the water.
Yeah. So now you've got this to look at, and now you're suddenly going, okay, the dishes that are over here, those were washed, but not through the bleach cycle. And these were waiting to, because now we're boiling more. So it's like, you know, you had to put like a note on like, these plates are clean. These plates are not sanitized, you know, so to speak. So you're just kind of waiting like, you know, okay, I think this is good. You know, so finally That's all going on. So we have power and water. And then finally on Tuesday, the 23rd, a couple of days ago, they lifted the boil water restriction. So now it's, you know, you can go through and, you know, we left all of our taps and sinks running, you know, for a few minutes just to kind of
make
get
sure
everything out. Yeah. And now like on our refrigerator, it's got a water filter in there. So you can just put the cup in there and it, you know, just fills the water directly from there. So you're taking like a clear glass and you're like inspecting it. Like, is there anything floating in here? Can I see anything? You know? So finally, after, you know, a good day and a half of like actually drinking the water straight out of that and, you know, using it for cooking with both my wife and I are kind of like, we woke up this morning. We're kind of like, do you feel sick or anything? No. Do you? No. Okay. I guess the water's good. So now it's sort of like back to normal. And everything that we've seen on the news is pretty much the entire state is everyone, I think, like I said, except for like maybe a tiny little town here or there, everyone has their water back. Everyone has their power back. The snow has melted. Everything is quote unquote back to normal. I went to the grocery store day before yesterday and it was pretty well stocked. There's a major grocery store chain here in Texas that is just kind of like Texas only. It's sort of like, this is our, you know, our grocery chain that we go to. And they have major distribution centers in like Dallas, San Antonio. There isn't one here in Austin. And they had said at the beginning of the whole thing, when the snow is coming down, that, you know, they have enough food in their warehouses, their distribution warehouses for all their stores. The problem is that the roads are, you can't drive on the roads. So once, you know, everybody had kind of like picked through the stores a little bit, they said it'd only be a day or two before those stores were back up to full, you know, everything back on the shelves because they had it, they just couldn't get it to you. So, which wasn't a real issue. Like I said, the main things that were still out were like the prepackaged bread from like the companies. They also make their own bread in-house and their own tortillas and then that sort of thing. So those were all right there ready to go. But like I said, if you wanted like a case of, you know, Pepsi or Coke or Dr. Pepper or any of those things, it was, you know, you may still have to wait like a few days because they also come from like a national distributor from Coca-Cola brand to them and then on the shelves. And who knows how long it's going to be before, you know, that happens, but that's not the end of the world.
I mean, yeah.
So
from Ireland, I've seen like a few videos of people's houses being flooded. So did that come from burst pipes?
When the water came back on, the water that was still in the like in the pipes in people's houses or apartments or whatever, all of a sudden, because with the pressure and with the ice that's built in there, if there's a weak spot in the pipe would just rupture, and here comes all that water that's been backed up and now being sent through the system, flooding people's houses, garages, schools have been flooded, businesses, some hospitals. You know, that whole, it's a mess. The plumbers here, I saw, they're trying to keep the price gouging to a minimum, but they said that like some places were charging about $400 an hour for a plumber to come out to replace your pipes, or, you know, even if they had the parts that they needed, you know, it's not that they just like slap, you know, some duct tape on it and like, hey, your pipe's fixed. You know, they have to cut out whatever section is broken, resolder that in, all this, that, and the other. So yeah, that was another main problem, was that all the burst pipes, once everything got back to normal, so to speak, because same thing too, like a lot of the older houses down here, because we're in the South and it really doesn't get that cold, the pipes aren't insulated. So they don't have like any kind of foam protection or anything running the lengths of the pipes in the houses, or so they're essentially exposed. It's like you have your outside wall, then you have your pipes running right next to it with no insulation on the pipes for, you know, a situation such as this. Next thing you know, as soon as it drops below freezing, the pipes start to freeze. And when everything gets warmer, then you have problems. So,
there's so much involved.
So much involved. And like I was saying too, I don't know if you had seen on your news there, but back last week, there was that huge like 100 some car pileup just outside of Dallas.
Multiple
people killed. It was just the actual footage of it is horrendous. There was someone coming in. I think the accident happened going from north to south, so just outside of Dallas, or going into Dallas going south. Huge accident happened. Trucks had jackknifed 100 or so cars just on the ice, on the brakes, one right into another. And the person going in the opposite lanes, they had all stopped and the person was recording with their cell phone. And you just see like these 18 wheelers, just 60 miles an hour cars. Just, if you have the stomach for it, if you're interested, I'm sure it's all over YouTube, these videos. Just look for, you know, Texas car crash winter 2021. And you'll know it when you see it. But there was like 100 some car pileup of just the roads just being frozen that quickly that, you know, there was no real warning. It's like you're just driving along the interstate, you know, getting to where you need to go. All of a sudden, everything is frozen. You know, you see the cars up, you know, well up ahead of you, brake lights on, you step on the brakes and you're along for the ride at that point. You're just like, oh my God, is this the end? You know, and then all of a sudden,
my God.
It was pretty tragic. Yeah. So that was not good. But yeah, perils of, you know, icy weather. So.
Yeah. And do you think that like anything will be put in place going forward to prevent or to like to prepare for this happening again? Or do you think it was a freak storm and nobody expects it to happen again? Or
that's the thing. It's one of those situations where, like, especially like with the roads and such, I don't think anything will be done with that because it seems very rarely would we have any kind of situation where all of the roads would freeze and, you know, all these cities would need to invest, you know, millions of dollars into trucks with, you know, snow plows on the front and tons of ice to put down. I don't think that would ever happen. They are now, of course, you know, talking about huge reform on the Texas power grid and, you know, suing the company that was in charge of it. And, you know, maybe we should tie into the rest of the grid. But like with anything, give it a couple weeks, couple months, nothing changes. I mean, it's the same thing with, you know, pick your topic, you know, like even like here in the States, like something, you know, as volatile as like, say, gun control, mass shootings happen, you know, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to, you know, these laws, we're going to put forth legislation. And 2-3 weeks later, nothing happens. You know, it's just years and years and years of bureaucracy. And, you know, you say what the people want to hear. And then, you know, oh yeah, great, this, that, and the other. And then nothing gets done. And I think that'll probably be what happens here in Texas, as far as at least with the power grid system. Like right now, everyone's up in arms and, you know, it's a witch hunt going on and they'll be held to pay. And, you know, these people will be elected out and this, that, and the other. And give it a couple months and once we're in summer here and it's, you know, 105 degrees every single day. And they'll be like, oh yeah, that snowstorm it wasn't that bad, you know. And you know, and we have plenty of power for the summertime when everyone's running their air conditioning 24/7 for 7 months out of the year. So yeah, that was just a fluke, you know, in the winter until it happens. Maybe not next year, maybe not 2 years, maybe 5 years. Because as they said, something like this did happen. I think it was back in the 80s. Something had happened and the power grid, kind of the same thing, it failed, but not on such a massive scale. And I don't think it was in the middle of winter. So something did happen back then. And of course, back then, oh, we'll look into it. We'll make these changes. We'll, you know, beef up the grid. No, nothing happened. And here we are, people are dead, you know, and it's just, you know, the politicians are pointing their finger at the power grid. You know, people are pointing their finger at the politicians. This, that, and the other. It's like, and then at the end of the day, you're kind of confused. It's like, well, who's responsible for what, you know, under what legislation, and how come this wasn't done? And everyone's up in arms. And then, you know, like I said, give it another month or two and nothing will happen. This time next year, nothing. I'm pretty sure of it. So, which is sad.
That is sad.
You know, yeah. But then of course, you know, all that takes money to do. And, you know, it's just, who's going to pay for it? Texans aren't going to pay for it because it's the fluke thing. It'll never happen again until it does happen again. And then, oh, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And then you got another hot mess. And then it's just, you know, you point the fingers again. So
yeah,
unfortunate.
So. Well, it's good that you guys, yourself and your wife are safe and you made that through that. Okay. It does sound quite scary. Like I'd be someone who'd be cold anyway, if you know what I mean. And so like we have the heat on a lot in our house and I was just kind of trying to follow the story being like, oh my God, if they've no electricity, how are they staying warm in that cold?
Well, like I said, from living in Chicago, like our whole lives, like when we moved, you know, first to Los Angeles and then here to Texas, it's like, we still have like, you know, flannel lined, you know, blue jeans and, you know, thick socks and, you know, sweaters and like what you're wearing, like a fleece jacket like that. You put on like a t-shirt and then, you know, like a long sleeve, you know, t-shirt kind of thing, and then have that on, and then, you know, have kind of like a heavier coat. And I was walking around, obviously, you know, I had like a ski cap on for like 3 days straight, just trying to keep that warm. I mean, it didn't get to the point of where you had to wear gloves. I think the coldest it got in this house was maybe about 52 degrees or so.
Okay.
So it's cold, you know, like normally here in the wintertime, we kind of keep it around 70.
Yeah. So it dropped. That's colder. That's significantly colder. Yeah, it dropped colder.
About good 25 degrees colder in the house. And I think maybe subconsciously you feel colder because you know that there's no heat running and you're just kind of like, oh, it's so cold. And you kind of look at it and you go like, well, it's not like it's below freezing.
Yeah.
You
know, even just having this discussion. I'm like,
I mean, there were no icicles hanging from, you know, the ceiling fans or anything like that. But you know, uncomfortable is a good way to put it for us. Fortunately, like we're in a newer house. You know, we're not kind of like in some like ramshackle little, you know, place out in the middle of nowhere, which, you know, some of Texas is, you know, in the rural areas, of course. So I mean, we consider ourselves very lucky. Inconvenienced, yes. To the point of we don't know if we're gonna make it through this. No, that part never crossed your mind. And you know, it's just kind of bad when you have to crawl into bed, you know, wearing like a lot of layers of clothes, and there's just, you know, you're just not warm. You're not warm the entire time. And that first hot shower when the water kind of came back on after, you know, 3-4 days was glorious. It was like, oh man, this is. Oh, I'll never take this for granted again, you know.
Cut to 2 weeks time when you're taking it for granted.
Exactly, right? You know, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like you don't realize, you know, how for granted you take, you know, fresh running water or electricity or heat, you know, or in the summertime, air conditioning. There's been plenty of times, like in Los Angeles when we were there, when like all the big fires were coming through, same thing, you'd have like rolling blackouts, and you know, it's 7 o'clock at night and it's like 95 degrees outside, and you're just like, you know, and there's no air conditioning, there's no ceiling fan. I mean, you're just like with a regular, just trying to cool down. And, you know, you take all these things for granted, but when they finally do come back on, you're like, oh, how could we possibly have lived without this? Oh, you know, I need a cold Coke out of the fridge. Oh, you know, life is good sort of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, but yeah, so, you know, you make it through it and you just kind of hope for the best for the future. And, you know, you kind of try and vote out the bad politicians who just kind of shrug their shoulders and fly to, you know, Mexico during this, or, you know, go somewhere else. And, you know, hopefully they're gone the next go around, and you bring in people who actually care about, you know, the power and what's going on, renewable energy, that sort of thing. And, you know, you just cross your fingers, hope for the best, and you just do what you can do to, you know, to get through it. And you try and help, you know, people out as well. I mean, even on the news, there were just so many stories of, you know, people who, like, if their power would come back on, you know, on this side of the street, if like the people on the other side, if you knew that they didn't have power, just because their lights weren't on, you know, knock on their door, come on over, we have power, charge your phones, you know, whatever you need to do, come and get warm for a little bit. So, you know, do you guys have water here? We've got water. You know, I mean, there are so many stories of people helping each other out, which is, that's the nice, you know, thing about it. At that point, it's sort of like, yeah, we're all in this together. You kind of try and look out, you know, for your neighbor as best as you can. When you know, if you have the opportunity to do that sort of thing. But, you know, like I said, where we are here in our little area, we were all out at the same time. Like water was out at the same time, power was out at the same time.
Yeah.
And with the roads being how they were, it's like I wouldn't even walk, you know, to the end of the block because you slip and fall and ambulance can't come and get you, you know.
That's true.
You know, all these emergencies, you know, that would have been happening, you know, unfortunately, you know, for the elderly or the infirm who are at home. And you start to think too about, you know, like people who are using like portable oxygen machines at home that run off electricity. Suddenly the power's out. What happens to them? You know, it's just, you know, just all the little things you take for granted with, you know, just having power. You flip on the switch, the lights come on. You know, and the people who need those kinds of things, you know, to actually just keep living, suddenly that's gone. And then who do you blame? Do you blame the politicians? Do you blame the people who are running the infrastructure? do you blame Mother Nature and kind of call it a day? I mean, what do you do? There, at the end of the day, there's a lot of what just happened here? I don't know. How do we fix this? How do we get it better for next time? A lot of unanswered questions, but you just kind of, you know, you just kind of roll with it at the end of the day and hope that everything is okay. And you just move on. You just kind of carry on with your life once everything gets back to normal as best as you can. So,
well, thank you. But now so we see. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was gonna say, and like now it's like, yes, yesterday it was about 80 degrees outside here, you know, wearing shorts and a t-shirt outside. And, you know, today it's cloudy outside and we're supposed to be getting rain for the next 2 days, but the threat of snow now is completely gone. So once everybody is kind of back up to speed and the pipes are all back to normal, it's, you know, life goes on and we continue until it comes back again, hopefully not for quite some time, and we have a better system in place. But you just kind of go with it, and that's that. So
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
It was amazing to hear what it was like from somebody who lived through it.
Sure. Yeah. Anytime. Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to us on YouTube, and the podcast is also available on your preferred audio platform. And if you could give us a review, that'd be great. And I shall see you in the next one. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.